Welcome to the Valley Outdoors Radio, brought to you by Vexus Boats, building dreams with an unequaled passion for excellence. And now, with our hosts, Eric Colson, Don Cleaver, and Ava LaRue.
Welcome to the Valley Outdoors, everybody. We've got a huge show coming up, lots of things to talk about, and a really good guest, Rob Driesline, one of the friends of the show, talking a little bit about what's going on at the state of Mille Lacs. And some regulations that just came up and were changed regarding perch. So lots of conversation there and more when we come back. Eric Olson here, professional walleye tour champion, avid outdoorsman, and host of the Valley Outdoors Radio Show. Aquatic invasive species, or AIS, threatens not only our rivers and lakes here, but everywhere we boat. They come in many forms, and they love to hitch a ride to the next body of water on your boat or trailer. Join me to stop the spread of AIS by cleaning all weeds and aquatic material from your trailer before leaving the launch ramp. Drain live wells and clean areas that don't drain completely. Plus, don't forget to pull the plug. Clean, drain, dry. Together, we can make a difference.
Avid outdoorsmen know that heading to the field without all the advantages, not a good idea. Most importantly, a stable shooting platform. Having the right platform can be critical to success. Field Optics Research is the industry leader, offering the most advanced, lightest, and stable tripods on the market. It's stability you need when that once-in-a-lifetime shot is in your crosshairs. Field Optics, the ultimate tripod for hunting, shooting, long-range precision shooting, spotting scopes, and outdoor photography.
Links to Field Research Optics available on thevalleyoutdoors.com.
Hey, everybody. Kayla, how are you doing?
I am good. I'm excited that we're talking with Rob Driesline today. He's always a wealth of knowledge.
He is, and amazingly very topical today as well. And I don't mean an ointment type topical. It is a very timely conversation, and it should be quite good because I'm a little passionate about what's been going on recently with the Bassmaster Classic. Local guy wins it, so that's pretty cool. And, yeah, so we'll talk a little bit about that. First, before I get too far, I have to always, my passion, obviously, and a lot of people, it's fun to watch next year, and we're gearing up for the Olympics for next year, and two big events happened this last week, and it was Lindsey Vonn finished second in her Super G, which at 40, it is the oldest ever a podium finish, meaning they're either one, two, or three. She finished second. And had a tremendous run, and I think it bodes well for her moving into the Olympic year. She can win a medal. She can do well, and I think she's got a lot more left in the tank as far as that passion, and that's a big deal. And as of Thursday, they had a little delay because of wind, etc. Michaela Schifrin, best woman skier ever, you know, coming back off of her big injury. She had a puncture wound and had a lot of things going on this year to try and recover. She wins her final slalom race of the year by over a second, which was impressive, to say the least.
Yeah. But
kudos to her. That was fantastic. She did not get to compete for the Globe, which is the overall best slalom skier. But that's personal victories on that situation are pretty amazing. And, of course, there's a lot to look forward to with the men's and the women's ski teams next year. And of course, our friend from the area, cross country,
Jesse Diggins,
she actually won the overall World Cup title as well for cross country. So lots of cool stuff going on that, and really lots to look forward to for the Winter Olympics next year. So I'm pretty happy. And speaking of locals, the local boy does well. And we'll talk about it more a little bit later, but Easton Fothergill, a local guy from Grand Rapids, local kid, 22 years old, won the Bassmaster Classic. And if you're a fisherman and you didn't hear about it, you probably lived under a rock. But nonetheless, You got a $300,000 check out of it, plus endorsements, plus this, that, and the other $10,000 here and something else there. But the piece of this is, and again, all credit is due. He did a great job. And as things are, he took it to the bank, which is great. The thing that was interesting from this whole concept was that he did get the record weight ever of a Bassmaster Classic. And it was a forward-facing sonar period bite. And that's what they pretty much used to get that nailed down. And more, it's just like I say, kudos to him, understanding what and how to use it properly and really make things happen. So kudos to him on that. But lots of money. I mean, it's $10,000 here for the highest place entrant in the Toyota Big Bucks, another another $20,000 for the Yamaha. He was running Yamaha outboard. So lots of
good things coming his way. Yes.
Yeah, and with this win, they can't take it away from you. I will say that, and that's a big, big positive for him. So super kudos to him. But we're going to talk a little bit more about the forward-facing sonar in a little bit with Rob and what's going on with a recent change to limits that have been laid out there on Mille Lacs. A story I was going to tell last week, this is pretty crazy. Out of Florida, some people were kayaking in an area where there was alligators. Maybe you just don't want to go roller skating in a buffalo herd or kayaking in an alligator pond. Either one of those, if you've ever heard the song before, you know what I'm talking about. If you haven't, look it up sometime. She was kayaking with a group of 30 kayakers and was bitten by an alligator, grabbed her elbow, and took a life jacket from another person's boat in the group. They said they had to put a tourniquet on her arm. It was bleeding excessively.
I bet.
And you're in a situation then where now what do you do when you've got 30 people to kayak with, and you were not able to go pretty much anywhere at that point. Once the attack happened, they couldn't see where the gator went. He said they could see the stolen life jacket bobbing in the water, assuming the gator was still underneath the vest, and they could not literally get a hold of her arm to do any first aid because it was so painful. Finally, they had no choice, and I'm sorry, but there are certain things you just don't do in Florida in that kind of an area.
Who took 30 people out there?
They were in a backwater marsh, and they just don't think that's not a good thing to do. The alligator and the life vest were about a quarter mile away from the scene when the helicopter spotted the group and started to circle. And holding up the paddles 45 minutes after the call was placed, helicopters were there, and rescuers reached them in an airboat to help. So
no thanks.
Nope, not me. Not happening. I'll take mosquitoes and whatever else I can in Minnesota and call it a day.
Pretty much.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, tell you what, we are going to be coming back. We're going to talk with Rob Driesline from The Outdoor News. Like I put that in there. Actually, just Outdoor News. But he's going to be joining us, and it is going to be a barn burner. You're going to want to hang out for this one. All right, Jeff, when we come back. Thanks for hanging in there, everybody. And we like it when you check us out. Where do they want to check us out, Ava?
TheValleyOutdoors.com.
And Facebook, like us, please. Lots of good stuff on both. And feel free to send us any pictures you got from early season, being in the outdoors, in the woods, whatever you see. Send us some photos. We'll put them up there as well.
Yeah, turkey. So,
anything.
Right around the corner.
Yeah.
My goodness.
It's all coming on. It's all coming on. And speaking of coming on, very good friend of the show, a friend of mine, and the editor of The Outdoor News, Mr. Rob Driesline. Good to have you with us, Rob. And I can't tell you, when I read the article, you and I talked a little bit about it off air, but talking about perch and and the new regulations that were just announced. That's pretty crazy. Lots to talk about with this whole thing.
Yeah. I mean, you and I were talking a little off air. We're talking about forward-facing sonar here, and when you link in, you know, some of the Bassmaster Classic and how forward-facing sonar is now, you know, a dominant part of the tournament scene in events like that, it's a huge, huge topic.
Well, so let's jump in. In your specific article that you had written, it's titled "New Perch Bag Limits in Minnesota's Mille Lacs Serve as a Forward-Facing Sonar Wake-Up Call," and I know in conversations the last several years, you know, I have many people that are friends of mine that they work in the electronics side of it. It's nothing against the companies themselves, but it really comes down to how you end up managing what is going on. And I think the Minnesota DNR has basically been slapped in the face with the wake-up call, and they've made the changes accordingly. Fill us in on what that's all about.
Well, and my concern is that they waited too long.
Absolutely.
And the DNR has been ignoring this topic. I mean, we first had a front page story about forward-facing sonar and some of the concerns about this. I think is it 3 summers ago now in Outdoor News? The Star Tribune, they've written about it. You know, it's everywhere. I mean, everyone's talking about this. MinFish had its summit on Thursday and devoted hours and hours to talking about forward-facing sonar. This is not new. And it's like the DNR's got to be whooped upside the head to get their attention. And, you know, we just had a perch harvest on Mille Lacs that was 600% higher than any other perch harvest on that lake going back like 15 years. I mean, the previous high was 7,000 pounds in 2013.
And now it's 43,000 pounds.
Yeah, and by Eric, that number is as of late February. I've been asked after some of my reporters to try to find out what it was by mid-March. I bet it's a lot higher than that.
Oh, I wouldn't doubt it. It's crazy.
Yeah.
And ice, okay, the ice was fishable this year, but come
exactly.
on.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
But, but I'm sorry, the way you can find a school of fish with it now?
We don't want to be Debbie Downers here, right? I mean, people had fun. People had great fishing. It was a positive news story for Lake Mille Lacs. That's good. That area needs a boost like that. But, you know, we have to ask hard questions like, okay, what does this mean for next year or for the next 20 years? You know, have we wiped out multiple year classes of perch on this lake because we're not being sensitive to the impacts of this new technology?
Well, so now they've moved from what was 20 to now just released. Now what's the limit?
It's five per day. And, you know, so that affects everybody.
Absolutely.
I would have much preferred the DNR had looked at the harvest in December and said, whoa, this is really amping up. Look what's going on. People have got this dialed in between social media and live sonar. Let's knock the limit back to 10 for the rest of the winter so people can still come up here and have good fishing, but not, you know, potentially wipe out the fishery.
Well, and in your article, you brought up the fact that, you know, Felagy has been fishing that lake for a long time and refers to it as the in the middle of nowhere type fish. It's not exact quote,
right.
But the fish in the middle of nowhere, not on structure. And that's the same thing that happened on the muskie tournaments in Wisconsin. The guys had four forward-facing sonar transducers per side. And they ended up catching 7 muskies in the tournament. And you know what it did to the use of forward-facing sonar and muskie tournaments? Done.
Yeah, I'm right.
You know, it's not allowed anymore. And those fish they were catching were exactly the same scenario we're talking about here, where they're in the middle of nothing. So,
right.
And it comes down to, and I be careful what you wish for. Because you want, this is the greatest thing ever, and with this technology is the best thing ever. It's going to be the most amazing thing. And last year, Wall sat down, and we had 10 minutes, and then he gave another 10 minutes. And he's like, what do you think of this forward-facing sonar? And I said, you're going to have to think about it long and hard about what this is all about, because it has the potential to kill significant walleye year classes on these lakes. And I said, you're going to have to look at it. And nothing, nothing, Now we look at the perch scenario. And again, I agree with you. Do we want to be a Debbie Downer? Well, no, we don't. But the downer part is now we only get five. If you told somebody, you tell somebody in the state of Minnesota, you got a 5 perch limit, it almost will end up being a bycatch because you're not going to necessarily go out and try and get 5 perch and hope that that's all you're going to go for. You know what I mean?
Right, right. And yeah, and we want to be clear. This is just on Mille Lacs. This wasn't a statewide change. But this is, like I said in my column, kind of the bleeding edge. And it's not just Mille Lacs. We saw it with crappies on Red Lake this year. We've seen it with perch out on Devil's Lake. It's hard for these fish to find any place to hide anymore. They can't hide in the deep water anymore because of this technology. I'm glad that it has leveled the playing field for so many anglers out there, and they're having a good time. But the cold, hard reality is the DNR is going to have to change how it manages fish because of this technology.
And it's absolutely true. And a prime example, I brought it up when you were in that talking off air, and the tournament, it was up at Devil's Lake. In past years, Devil's Lake, on any given year, at a tournament goes up there, a lot of great anglers, and a walleye tour goes up there. You're going to be between 22 to 25 pounds is a max bag with the slot and everything else that goes in. Well, if that's standard, this year they ended up, I think it was 36 pounds hit that mark with the slot. And the issue becomes the bigger fish are more impacted by high mortality. It's a given fact.
Right.
It's not a question.
Right.
It's not. That's a given fact. Meaning you catch a bigger fish, odds are through the fight, if you're 5, 6, 7 pounds in a warm temperature, they don't have the same capability to process and get oxygen back in their system. And there's a high likelihood those bigger fish may not survive. So what does that mean? That means in a given fishery, you have a tournament organization who wants to go to the lake. Leech is a prime example. They don't want to have that anymore because they don't feel the need to, and they don't like the impact it has on the fishery. You're going to have the same scenario when this comes up in future type tournaments, as well as, hey, are you using forward-facing sonar on this particular body of water? However they do it, the DNR, I think, is going to be at the forefront now saying, well, I think we have to regulate and we're going to have to chop the limits. And I think that's what's going to be the end result, which is really unfortunate. And I don't know, Rob, I think it's a slippery slope no matter what.
Yeah. I don't know what the alternatives are. If we don't, I mean, what saved the buffalo 120, 130 years ago? And you know, maybe that's a little bit of an alarmist comparison, but nonetheless, it took serious rules and regulations, or we wouldn't have buffalo today.
Well,
I'm worried about that with big muskies. I'm worried about that with big walleyes.
Well, 600% is not a drop in the bucket,
right,
Rob? That's
no, it's not.
That is an absolute cold wake up call. Now,
yeah, and I bet it's, as we were saying, I bet it's more than 600%. I bet it's 700%.
It probably is. So,
yeah.
On that same page, obviously, in moving to the recent event that happened, a big event, and that was the Bassmaster Classic in Texas, I believe it was. And
Yep, Fort Worth.
Yep. And, you know, a local Minnesota boy wins it, Featherworth, or I believe that was his name. I'm sorry. Father Gill. And
Easton Fothergill.
Yep, yeah. Fothergill, 22-year-old kid. And the question is not to take away the win from him, by no means. That's not the commentary that I'm going to provide. However, what I'm going to say is when you look at what's going on with Bassmaster, and this is the trend that I think will happen. You look at the people watching that, the crowds have been, or the viewership has been reduced because they have said, we don't like watching people staring at a screen and that's all they're doing and they're not casting at all. There's no intuition going into it. It's all, I'm going to look at this screen. Now, people can call, you can send me cards and letters and do whatever you want. But the plain and simple fact is it coming from a sponsorship scenario, Rob, I see that being a starting to spiral downhill and I don't know how you correct it.
It certainly becomes less spectator friendly. Yeah, I mean, who wants to watch people staring at screens all day?
It's exactly.
Eric, I got a thought for you as a tournament guy. Do you think that Forward Facing Sonar has kind of leveled the playing field out there on the tournament scene, that having local knowledge of a lake, it's still valuable, but is it less valuable when everyone's out there just using Forward Facing Sonar?
There's no question. There's absolutely no question about it. The time that you would take on a spot to find and cast for fish that are shallow, because I think that's a lot of the fish that have been an unknown entity were the shallow fish, because you just can't, you can't see them. The weed fish, you can't see them. I've found spots when I've just casted, fan casted some shallow spots in South Dakota, and have done amazingly well. But when those fish moved, I could not, you had to take another hour and a half, 2-3 hours to figure out what in the world happened. So it absolutely does. And it's, if you have a 22-year-old angler that's going to beat up on the veterans, and the other person, I believe, was 20 years old or in that area that took another top five spot, I'm not saying it's not any credit away from him, but what I'm saying is we're in a situation right now where it's no longer learning the sport, learning about it, learning the different deals. It's take a jig, a swim jig, and throw the swim jig, and that's what you do. And how is this going to impact? Now, again, I'm looking from a global perspective. I hope everybody in the audience understands this. When you have less viewership, sponsors are reduced. When sponsors are reduced, everything else is going to be reduced. Payouts are going to be reduced. Everything else is going to drop. Now, the other thing is tackle. They don't use the same things that they've been using before. You're going to throw
or
accuracy with a jig. Yeah. That's what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And to answer your question, absolutely. Yes, mm-hmm. It has absolutely leveled. In fact, I would say it's flip-flopped it. The guys that have the tribal knowledge that understand fisheries and what goes on, if they don't have that same aptitude with that forward-facing sonar, they're taking it right between the eyeballs because they can't necessarily correlate as quickly as these guys that simply drive along a shoreline, look for fish, cast to them, and catch them. And
yeah,
that's
the new paradigm.
Well, and it is. The only challenge becomes, the only ones that are going to be able to do that at that age have a rich purse from someone that's not them. It can't work. It doesn't work otherwise. It's a very difficult scenario to make that work in a long-term deal, unless you win early and bank that money and hope you can cultivate that. That's the problem. And
yeah.
So I'm going to give you this comment. You heard me mention it when you were talking earlier. And one of the anglers, somebody said he had his boat broke down. No, his boat did not break down. His forward-facing sonar broke down in the morning and didn't catch anything in the afternoon at all, zero. And somebody asked him, he said, well, what happened? Did your boat broke? No, my forward-facing sonar broke and I couldn't get it to work. So, and he said, well, what happened? Well, you can't catch him if you don't see him.
That is amazing. So, that is an amazing quote.
So
is that the state of modern fishing?
This is where I'm getting to, and I think this is one of the things you're finding a lot of these guys, and KVD is one of them. I think he saw the writing on the wall, and I think there's a lot of guys that are seeing the writing on the wall. This has turned into something different. When you can't employ that intuition that, you know what, I've had an experience where this is what they've done before. I was on Erie and the fish migrated. The fish shut down. I'm going to jump down the reefs. I'm going to catch these fish on the reef. The fish are over here and I've got to do this. There they are. I see them on the side, the forward-facing sonar. Side imaging and forward-facing sonar are 100% different. It's not even in the ballpark. So to say that they're the same thing, well, you have to buck up with technology. That's not the case. So my point to you is, when you have that statement go out there, what is your thought?
Well, fishing has just completely changed. I mean, think about that. How are you going to catch them if you can't see them? I mean, if we just said that to our fathers and grandfathers, they'd have whooped us upside the head.
Absolutely. No question. And it holds true. It's like if you're trolling on Green Bay. you know when sometimes it gets flat calm and you have a certain temperature that's going on, those fish are going to move right up to the surface. You can't see them. You've got to go by intuition. And you have to say, all right, I need to stagger this out and figure out where those fish are. And then when you do, it's gold. And that's what makes a tournament win. And that's the part that I think, you know, we've got two different scenarios. One is the DNR's got to do something to protect the fishery. And then we're talking, the other thing is the tournament organizations have to do something to protect their actual audience. So that's kind of the challenge that comes into play. And Rob, I think we'll talk about this obviously more as this kind of unfolds. I'd like to hear more what happened with Minfish. I know we talked a little bit about that before. We're not going to get into that because that could be a whole nother show.
Yeah, but I will tell folks we'll have a thorough report on the Minfish Summit, as well as the DNR Fisheries is having a summit this weekend in next week's Prince edition of Outdoor News.
Fantastic. Hey, guys, please check out the Outdoor News with Rob and the article talking about the bag limits. You're going to want to read it. Pick it up for you and make it happen. Rob, thanks for joining us. We got a boogie, and we are the Valley Outdoors. For Ava, myself, and Don, who's not here, we welcome you guys and really appreciate you guys listening. Thanks much, and we are out. Have a great weekend.
Thanks for listening to the Valley Outdoors Radio, brought to you by Vexus Boats, building dreams with an unequaled passion for excellence. Catch us next week, same time, same place. Have a great day on the water or in the field.